Africans, we have not had our national family meeting for quite a while now. It has been many months now since the outbreak of the coronavirus in South Africa. The pandemic has caused great hardship for all our people. After such a long time of uncertainty and worry, we all wish to return to our normal lives. I know that many of us are suffering from coronavirus fatigue. The problem is that we've begun to forget that the virus is still present all around us. As I speak to you this evening, the COVID-19 pandemic is worsening across the globe. The world has just recorded its highest number of weekly new cases since the start of the pandemic and the highest number of weekly deaths. More than 51 million people have been infected globally, and at least 1.2 million people have died. Many countries are in the midst of a second wave of infections, which has often been more severe than the first. What we are seeing brings home a very difficult truth, that COVID-19 is far from over. It is very much still here, and it will remain with us for some time to come. As South Africans, we have endured what we hope is the worst of the storm. At the height of the pandemic in July, we're recording around 12,000 new cases of infections a day. For more than 2 months now, the number of new infections has remained relatively stable at below 2,000 a day. The number of deaths has been declining steadily, as has the number of people requiring hospitalization. The total number of new hospital admissions has also declined for the 14th consecutive week. We owe this to the decisive measures that we took early in the pandemic and to the contribution that every South African has made in fighting this virus. We owe this also to the frontline workers who have selflessly and steadfastly and also courageously staffed our medical facilities, gone out into communities to screen and to test, who have also had the courage to continue serving our people. And in doing so, we know that our people have benefited a great deal. For more than 2 months now, yes, the virus has declined significantly. And as it has declined, we have also been praised by many people around the world. We should be proud of our response as a nation, which has been widely recognized and been commended. I had a virtual meeting yesterday with several international business leaders whose companies operate in many countries across the world. They all applauded the manner in which South Africa has managed the pandemic. While this is welcome progress, we must, however, acknowledge that this pandemic has so far taken a great toll on the health and well-being of our people. To date, South Africa has recorded more than 742,000 coronavirus cases. Of these people, over 92% have recovered from this disease. This is a phenomenal achievement. But the greatest blow we have suffered since the start of this pandemic are the confirmed deaths of 20 1,011 people due to COVID-19. While we have a relatively low fatality rate compared to many other countries, we cannot begin to calculate the loss as well as the anguish that these deaths have caused to families and to the friends of those who have departed. Since the beginning of this crisis, our goal has been both to save lives and to protect the livelihoods of South Africans. As we rebuild our economy in the midst of this pandemic, this must remain our overriding concern. Although infections have stabilized, many people are still getting infected every day, and we remain vulnerable. We are seeing now how quickly and how dramatically infections can rise in a number of countries. We are also seeing how health systems can become overwhelmed in the face of rising infections. The rise in infections in some of these countries has led to the reimposition of tough restrictions. We have also seen in other countries how a resurgence can dash the hopes for a swift economic recovery. We must do everything that we can to prevent this from happening in South Africa. If we are to prevent a resurgence of infections in our country, there are a few areas that we must pay attention to. The first is the situation in the Eastern Cape, which is showing signs of a resurgence. In the last week, the number of new cases in the province was 50% higher than the week before. This is concerning. And the total number of new cases in the last 14 days was around 145% higher than the previous 14 days. These increases are being driven by massive spikes in the Nelson Mandela Bay Metro and the Sarah Bartman District in particular. For the last month, there has been a sustained upward increase in hospital admissions in the province. The evidence suggests that the increases in the Eastern Cape could have been triggered by outbreaks in institutions of higher learning, such as universities and also in schools, and attendance by people at large gatherings. When this is combined with poor adherence to social distancing, mask wearing and other poor hygiene measures, the environment is rising infections is set. With many people moving between the Eastern Cape and other provinces, particularly the Western Cape, it is a matter of time before this surge spreads to other parts of the country. We therefore need to take measures to contain these rise in infections. In response to the rising infections, we are implementing the resurgence plan that has been developed together with the surge team that was deployed to our country by the World Health Organization. Interventions that we have come up with include primary healthcare outreach teams to intensify contact tracing, daily community mobilization, ensuring the readiness of health facilities in the province, and being ready to respond to possible cluster outbreaks. We will be working closely with the provincial government, also with municipalities and other institutions in the Eastern Cape, in the coming days and weeks to ensure that this surge is contained and managed. What we are witnessing in the Eastern Cape should, in essence, be a wake-up call to all of us that we cannot relax and we cannot be complacent about our approach to COVID-19. We are therefore also closely monitoring developments in areas that are experiencing higher than average rates of new infections. The areas where we are experiencing higher than average rates of new infections include Lejwe-Liputswa and Mangaung in the Free State, Francis Baard and Pixley, Kaisa-Kaseme in the Northern Cape, and the Garden Route and Cape Town Metro in the Western Cape. To ensure that we can keep all the necessary prevention measures in place, we are, as required by the Disaster Management Act, extending the national state of disaster by another month to the 15th of December 2020. The second area of concern that we need to pay attention to is the upcoming festive season in our country, during which time many South Africans travel to other parts of the country and where people tend to relax and to gather socially. These activities, if not undertaken responsibly, pose the greatest immediate threat to our management of the pandemic. But we can avoid a second wave if we each play our part, if we remember what we need to do to keep ourselves and others safe. From the big cities and the metros to the smallest towns and villages, we all know about this virus. Information about this virus has been abundantly socialized among South Africans. From the grade R learner to the factory worker, from the university student to the grandparent at home, we all know how the coronavirus can be spread. So what I'm asking of each and every one of you this evening is not something new. I'm asking you to do what we all know must be done. We know that this virus is transmitted when we are in close contact with other people. Let us remember that it is transmitted in small particles from our noses, from our mouths, when we speak, cough, sneeze, or even breathe heavily. We also know that we need to protect ourselves and those around us. We also know that we need to wear a mask, a cloth mask worn over the nose and the mask, and the mouth rather, is still one of the best defenses against the spread of coronavirus. Now, I know that this can at times be a hassle. Masks can be hot and they can be cumbersome and uncomfortable, particularly during the summer months. Masks also make it difficult to recognize other people or to hear clearly what they are saying. I've also had difficulty in recognizing some people when they are wearing masks. But cloth masks are cheap. They can now be found almost anywhere in our country. And the inconvenience of wearing one is far, far, far better than becoming infected or infecting others. Wearing a mask every time we leave home is far, far better than having a second wave. It is also far better than a return to lockdown and better than having to shut down our economy once again. A number of outbreaks have been linked to indoor gatherings where there is poor ventilation and where there is no social distancing. Of course, with the festive season approaching, it is understandable that we all want to be with family, we want to be with friends. It has been a stressful and traumatic year that we've all gone through. We want to socialize, we want to connect with each other, and forget the troubles and tribulations of 2020. But this does not mean that we should let our guard down against this virus. We must remember that every additional person we come into contact with increases the chances of transmission. We should seriously avoid large gatherings. We should rather meet in small groups. And if we go out, we should limit contact with others. I have personally been increasingly getting concerned and alarmed by what I keep seeing in social media and on television, where people are holding big parties, where they go to big gatherings and social events as though the virus does not exist, where they go to shebeens and taverns and dance up the whole night as though the virus does not exist. I've been seeing images of indoor venues crowded with people who are not wearing masks and with no evidence of social distancing. These are super spreader events that must be avoided because this is dangerous behavior. The same rules that applied in the early days of the lockdown should also apply now. And now that we are in summer, it is far easier to meet outdoors or in rooms with windows that are open to allow ventilation to come through the rooms. As we have said before, we need to utilize various tools in our coronavirus toolbox to fight this virus. We can also use technology to fight the virus. I call on each of every South African to join the 700,000 South Africans who have downloaded COVID Alert SA mobile app. The COVID Alert app can notify you if you've been exposed to the virus, whether it is in a taxi, a shopping mall, or a social gathering. And it does so without sharing your location or any of your personal information. The app is zero rated by mobile networks, so it won't cost you anything to protect yourself and others. By downloading this app, you help to make the virus visible and break the chain of transmission. We would like, therefore, to appeal to all organizations to encourage their staff, to encourage their visitors, to download the app when they enter their offices, their shops, their schools, universities, or other enclosed facilities or spaces. In addition to these actions, we should all take to prevent a resurgence. We are strengthening our public interventions with regard to health. Testing is essential if we are successfully to prevent a resurgence. Without the severe capacity constraints we have had a few months ago, we are now working to significantly increase the number of tests that are done each day. All hospitals, both public and private, should test hospitalized patients in line with the revised guidance. We will also be expanding community screening and testing in hotspot areas. An effective and safe vaccine is still our greatest defense against COVID-19. And there are now several candidate vaccines in development across the world. Equitable access to an effective vaccine is vital to the successful containment of this pandemic. Earlier this week, the world witnessed a game changer in the world of science regarding the development of a vaccine. This is the first evidence that an effective vaccine against coronavirus is possible, and that the preliminary data from the research suggests that it may be more than 90% effective. Now, this changes our perspective on the future of the coronavirus pandemic. This development brings new hope in our fight against the virus. South Africa is collaborating with several multinational pharmaceutical companies to obtain a safe and effective vaccine for our people, and we are contributing towards the availability of a vaccine in the rest of the continent. We are working through the Africa Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to acquire and to fund a vaccine for the African continent. It is estimated that our continent, Africa, will need around $12 billion and 750 million doses of an effective vaccine. Earlier this week, in my capacity as chairperson of the African Union, I established the COVID-19 African Vaccine Acquisition Task Team to lead this effort. Our Minister of Health, Dr. Zweli Mkhize, will serve on this task team together with other outstanding citizens of our continent. South Africa has also been appointed as a co-chair of the Global ACTA initiative that is facilitating access to innovative interventions, including vaccines, for all countries. Countries are going to have to allocate funding so that there can be access to vaccines to prevent the further spread of the virus. In recognition of our country's manufacturing capacity, one of the leading pharmaceutical companies in the world, Johnson & Johnson, has entered into a preliminary agreement with a local company, Aspen Pharmacare, to manufacture and package its candidate vaccine. Aspen has capacity to manufacture 300 million doses of the candidate vaccine at its Nelson Mandela Bay plant in Port Elizabeth. This life-saving medical product will be needed across the world, and it will be manufactured here in South Africa by South African workers. And obviously, we are bidding very hard to have an uptake of the product that will be produced here in our own country. This is in addition to the progress made by BioVac, a local biopharmaceutical company that is in partnership with the South African government. BioVac is in advanced discussion with an international vaccine manufacturer that would also enable it to locally manufacture a COVID-19 vaccine to ensure sufficient supply for our country and to our continent. Fellow South Africans, from the outset of this crisis, we have sought to both save lives and protect livelihoods, as we have said. That is why in April we introduced a massive economic and social relief package to limit the effects of the pandemic on companies, on workers, on households, and on our communities. This intervention was essential to keep our businesses afloat, to protect jobs, and to prevent millions of people from going hungry. Now, as our economy has been steadily opening up and that restrictions are being lifted and movement and activity has been eased, we have been able to turn our attention from these emergency measures towards an ambitious plan of economic reconstruction. Through the various interventions that we are making to deal with COVID-19, we are also shifting from relief to recovery. As the economy starts to recover, many of the measures in the relief package are steadily being wound down. We are trying within our limited resources to ensure that this is done in a gradual manner. We recognize that some industries are still not able to operate fully and that it will take some time for many jobs to return. That is why we extended the special COVID-19 grant for a further 3 months until January 2021. This will provide much needed income to around 6 million people who are unemployed and who do not receive any other form of government assistance. Following extensive discussions with our social partners, the UIF will extend the COVID-19 UIF TERS benefits scheme by another month to the 15th of October 2020. Discussions continue with our social partners on support measures for businesses in distress going forward. Always mindful of the need to ensure that the UIF has sufficient funds to meet the anticipated rise in unemployment claims that will definitely come. The COVID-19 UIF scheme has already paid out nearly 53 billion to over 4.7 million workers. These relief measures were necessary to protect those who are most vulnerable in a time of great distress, but they will have to come to an end as we do not, as a government, have sufficient resources to continue. The relief package has laid the foundation for a robust economic recovery, limiting job losses and keeping afloat many businesses that would otherwise have been forced to close. As we transition to a new phase in our response, the only way forward is a rapid and sustained economic recovery. We are therefore working to enable all parts of our economy to return to full operation as quickly and as safely as possible. We are amending the Alert Level 1 regulations to restore normal trading hours, for instance, for the sale of alcohol at retail outlets. We are also opening up international travel to all countries subject to the necessary health protocols and the presentation of a negative COVID-19 certificate. Now, by utilizing rapid tests and strict monitoring, we intend to limit the spread of the infection through importation by those who will be traveling to our country. We expect that those measures that we are going to take will greatly assist businesses, particularly in the tourism and hospitality sectors. We are focusing relentlessly on the implementation of our plan, pursuing a few priorities with the highest impact, and ensuring that we deliver on these. Our infrastructure program, as announced, continues to gather pace and momentum with the strong support of the private sector as well as development institutions. Many programs supported through the presidential employment stimulus have already started, and recruitment for others has already begun. Among these, the Basic Education Department has opened recruitment this week for teacher and school assistants, targeting unemployed youth in every province. Next week, we will be holding our third South Africa Investment Conference, which is an important indicator on the country's continued value as an investment destination for both local and foreign investors. We're delighted that so many companies that made commitments and pledges in the past are coming back to participate, and new ones want to come back to participate. This is a clear demonstration that South Africa is indeed a land of opportunity and a land where we can still continue to attract investments. We will continue to drive progress on the reconstruction and recovery plan, including through the implementation of structural reforms to shift our economic trajectory. Through our actions now, we can ensure that we remain on the path to recovery. My fellow South Africans, we have lost many lives to this pandemic. Many of us have had to bid farewell to a loved one, a friend, or a colleague. As we look back on the year, it's been a year of much pain and sorrow. It is important as a nation that we should honor and remember all those who have succumbed to this disease. It will be appropriate, therefore, that during the 16 days of activism for no violence against women and children, which is the second pandemic we are confronting in our country, as I said, that we should demonstrate our remembrance of all those who have departed due to COVID-19, but also due to gender-based violence. Cabinet has decided that from the 25th to the 29th of November, the nation should embark on 5 days of mourning for the victims of COVID-19, as well as for the victims of gender-based violence and femicide. We will let the national flag fly at half-mast throughout the country from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., from Wednesday, the 25th of November, to Sunday, the 29th of November. We call upon all South Africans to wear black armbands or other signs of mourning to signify our respect for those who have departed from amongst us. We call upon all South Africans to demonstrate their solidarity and to do this in remembrance of our countrymen and women, in recognition of the grief that we share as a nation, and as an affirmation of our determination to overcome this devastating disease. Fellow South Africans, as I address you this evening, the country has just received the deeply sad news of the passing of the outgoing Auditor General of our country, Mr. Kimi Makwetu. During his time as Auditor General, Mr. Makwetu served this country with dedication, with distinction, and with great integrity. Our thoughts and prayers are with his family at this time of great sorrow. As a nation, let us continue to do what we know we must do to keep ourselves safe, but more importantly, to keep those close to us safe as well. Let us continue to demonstrate that we are a people of resilience and courage. Let us show that we care for one another in sorrow, in sickness, as well as in death. It is our individual actions over the next few weeks and months that will decide the fortunes of our nation. The actions we must take are straightforward, but they are not insignificant. They can and do save lives. Let us continue to work together like the great South African family that we are, to restore, to recover, and to rebuild. May God bless our beautiful country, South Africa, and protect her people. I thank you.